They didn't have invulnerability, so he had all these dead Supermen at his feet. The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 324, recorded on September 8, 2013. And welcome to the 324th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 157th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So we don't have any gaming flashback. We also don't have any listener feedback either, but I think that's because, well, we're recording this normally when people decide that they're going to write in. So basically, sorry people who are writing in, we're recording early on a Sunday morning. And I've noticed that we're always getting our comments on a Sunday night.
Well, that explains it then.
Readers tend to wait until the last minute to submit their things. I don't.
As long as there's a valid explanation.
Yeah.
We expect double the comments next week.
Well, probably. But also, it's summer. And, you know, I've noticed that no matter how popular the podcast is, you'll see a lot fewer comments on every podcast I ever see during the summer than during the winter.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we're going to skip. What have you been playing?
I picked up the Killzone Triple Pack today and couldn't play it immediately because it had to install. So while it was installing, I was playing Deadpool.
Okay. So at least is the game funny?
The game is pretty funny. The game itself is fairly pedestrian.
Yeah, average.
But there are some humorous elements in it. And both myself and my wife have had letters published in Deadpool over the last couple of months. So we kind of felt obligated to pick up and try the game.
Well, I mean, I've still just been playing Civilization V. You know, the funny thing is I haven't really gotten into the games in my Humble Bundle. I mean, I started playing Mirror's Edge on the PC a little bit, but, you know, I couldn't be bothered. But so, you know, I'm pretty sure I'll get around to them. Someone I know has like 100 games from the Humble Bundle, and he hasn't gotten a chance to play most of them, you know?
I think that's how a lot of the Humble Bundles work. People have more money than they have time to play.
Than they have time to play. They have.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, it's like $5. You get 6 or 8 games.
Exactly. Yep.
But I haven't even listened to the soundtracks yet. Maybe I should. So I've only been playing Civ 5 because, frankly, I haven't had time for much else. And the thing is that one thing that worries me is that I'm on console burnout right now, which means I'm not playing many games on my console. I'm just playing games on my PC. And it's happened before. I mean, it happened with the Xbox. It happened with the 360 like a couple of years ago. So what happens is
things too kind of go in phases, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't want to bother, you know, having to segregate my TV and move away from my keyboard here. I just want to watch TV and play a video game on my PC, you know.
I spent yesterday tearing down old consoles and boxing them up and the games, getting ready for the next generation. So, you know, cleaning out the bedroom workstation and packing up the PlayStation 2. And I actually went and realized that I never really packed up the PlayStation 1. So the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 1, all the games, everything is in one box. And then the same thing with the Dreamcast and the Saturn and the GameCube, the Game Boy Advance and the game and the Nintendo DS, all packed up and put away.
I'm willing to bet you got more use out of your Dreamcast and GameCube than you have out of your Wii.
I expect that's correct. The PS3 and the Xbox 360 are still all hooked up in the living room, but I've cleaned out room in the bedroom now so I can start moving stuff into the bedroom. And I'm going to move the PlayStation 3 first, and then because I'm going to be buying the PlayStation 4.
I've been cleaning up my room, and I figured that I want to have a separate monitor for my VCR so that at least I can get some use out of the VHS tapes that I have.
You still have VHS?
Well, it's there. I didn't throw it away, and I still have a bunch of tapes. I mean, okay. I threw out the tapes of MST3K episodes that I recorded off TV simply because, you know, all of them are on YouTube, and I can just rip them from there, you know?
I still have a VHS player and tapes, but I can't remember the last time I actually fired one up.
I have some tapes that have never been released on DVD, like the Doonesbury special, which was nominated for Academy Award back in 78. Okay. At some point, I'm going to have to get that VCR to PC Ripper so that, you know, you can just play the tape and record it on your thing and store it on a hard drive. Although the VHS tape, some of the VHS tapes I have are pretty rare. I mean, I still have a Star Wars VHS tape. The first one that was released. So, anyway, there's a lot of console news. Now, one news item we do not have written down is that Sony is promising they're going to have a major announcement tomorrow. Now,
they specifically promised the event you've been waiting for.
At first, I thought it was going to be The Last Guardian, but, you know, I've given up on that. I don't think The Last Guardian is ever coming out.
My feeling is that we've seen enough of these announcements to turn out to be nothing. My guess is because it's at the Tokyo Game Show, they're going to be announcing the PlayStation 4 launch date for Japan.
That's what my guess was. But I think there's a strong possibility that they're going to announce a new Vita and a new price.
That would be nice. You know, people have been talking about possibly a 4G version, that kind of thing. I would prefer a smaller one.
You know, smaller form, sort of like going from the PSP to the PSP 2000, that sort of thing.
I don't know. It could be too soon for that kind of change, but you know, I would like to see some Vita games announced before they announce new hardware.
Now, here's a pipe fantasy, and I know. You know, but what if they announced something like the Vita Go and they allowed you to allow you to download all the games that you downloaded for your Vita for free on your new Vita, on the Vita Go, which has no ports whatsoever?
Well, if it has no ports whatsoever, then I wouldn't buy it because I wouldn't be able to play the games that I already bought.
No, that's what I meant, though. They would allow you to it would allow you to put in, you know, you submit your code, you know, you submit, you know, look, I already own these because you can tell because I've been playing them on my machine. Can you give me a code that allow me to download it for free for this new Vita that has no ports? You know, that's what
I still wouldn't buy it because I have the PSP Go, perfectly good Vita.
The opposite of what they did with the PSP Go, in which they just said, screw you, you have to buy them over again.
right. No, I still wouldn't buy a new machine because I still have a Vita that works perfectly well. So there's no point buying a new machine. But
trade it in for
why would I trade it in?
And you know, less lighter, I guess.
I don't have a problem. It's not difficult carrying the existing Vita. So
another thing that I've heard is that the PlayStation. Well, there are several things that that people are complaining about the PS4. One is that the controllers are kind of mushy.
I didn't notice that when I was at PAX. I thought the PS4 controller felt more solid than any controller that Sony's had since probably the original DualShock.
And they still don't have the hardware. I mean, they still don't have an actual console. They've had a case that is supposed to represent what the PS4 may look like, but they still not, and it's weird, they still not have had
They had consoles at PAX.
No, those weren't consoles. They were backed by bootstrapped PCs.
I don't think so, Jonah. I think you're off base there because the photos out of the photos out of China is of pallets of them already boxed and shipped and ready to go. I think you're off base there, Jonah.
I'm not because I'm not getting this from myself. I'm getting this from people who are actually at PAX Prime and stuff.
I've seen the photographs of the pallets in China sitting there waiting on the shipping dock. So I think you're completely wrong there, Jonah.
No, they haven't gotten the hardware yet. I'm telling you,
Jonah, you're wrong. It comes out in 2 months.
Yes.
Okay.
And what's your
they
point?
Can't not have hardware at this point, so you're completely wrong, Jonah.
Anyway,
just move along.
We're going to move on to game news. Xbox One gets November 22nd launch date, and this comes from Guardian. Microsoft has finally revealed the launch date for its Xbox One machine. It'll hit retail in 13 major territories, including North America, Canada, and the UK, on November 22nd. With a rival PlayStation 4 console coming on in North America November 15th and Europe on November 29th, Microsoft has shown a more ambitious rollout right in the middle of the competitor's launch period. Neither manufacturer has provided a firm date for the Japanese release, but as we just said, you know, it might be announced.
The big announcement tomorrow.
Yeah. Reversing the traditions of previous console cycles where new devices tended to premiere in Japan, and that's because Nintendo and Sony, where are they located? In Japan. In a statement on the Xbox Wire website, Yusuf Mehdi, the Vice President of Marketing, Strategy, and Business for the Xbox, wrote, "The culmination of many years of listening to you, our fans, developing innovative technology, and providing forthwith the best game and entertainment partners in the industry has brought us to this point. There is still more work to do, but the teams are making excellent progress and are focused on the launch." Now, I will say this. The hardware for the Xbox One is finished. However, the reports I'm getting is that the software is not done yet.
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, and we've got an article touching on that coming up here in a couple pieces regarding external drives and stuff like that. And it makes sense that they're having to redo the software because of the last-minute changes they've had.
Well, no, I mean, they're still dealing with the OS. They you know, everything has been – it's like – and this is about as late as you can get. This is the latest period that you can get because this is a week before Black Friday. And right. Microsoft could not do it later than this. So they are basically doing at the latest possible moment. It's not because they're competing with the PlayStation 4 and want to get in between there. You know, I don't
– Black Friday, for those of you not inside the United States, Thanksgiving is always the fourth Thursday in November. And then the following Friday is the official start of the Christmas shopping season, which seems really late this year. Did you notice that? That Thanksgiving is November 28th and yeah. Black Friday is the 29th?
Yeah, November 28th. Things. That's what happens when November 1st happens on a falls on a Friday or a Saturday. I mean,
exactly. But it just seems really late in the year. Usually, you know, Black Friday falls and you still have an extra week in November for different sales and stuff. This year, that's not going to happen. We're going to have Black Friday and then bam, straight into December. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
But you know what? The thing about software is that. Microsoft does not want to run a repeat of the Xbox 360 in software form. The last thing they want to see is something that happens like what happened with the Wii, in which you turn your Xbox One on and it bricks itself.
Starts a 2 gigabyte download because your software's not done.
I think they would prefer that. And you know what? It wouldn't matter because you still have to do a one-time online registration. So they say you're doing a one-time online registration. Boom. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am 99.99% certain that there will be day one firmware updates for both the One and the PS4.
Oh, I think there'd have to be. Yeah, absolutely. Just because the machine is boxed and sitting on a shipping dock somewhere doesn't mean they're still not working on the software.
One of the humorous things is I heard that Rise wasn't that good, but every time people press the X button, which takes you to the dashboard, they were raving about the dashboard, how fast it was and how quick and how nice it is, which is nice because on my 360, sometimes the dashboard can be kind of slow.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's what I'm looking forward to, a nice, quick dashboard. So we're going to move on.
It's sad that that's the biggest thing you're looking for in the next generation.
No. They said that No. I'm just saying that. I'm glad that they're going to have a new dashboard because the one that's on the Xbox 360 is getting clunky.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes about an hour for me to get all my games loaded up on that screen. You know, that's not what I want.
Right.
That's why I wish I had a Kinect. But, you know, it's going to come with a Kinect. But, you know, I mean a Kinect with my 360. I mean, if there's some way to get a Kinect for free, I'll go for it. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, which is very much related to this item.
Yeah, each Xbox One to be sold at a profit. This comes to us from Forbes. A Microsoft executive said that each sale of the upcoming Xbox One console will break even or be sold at a profit from its launch date. According to Microsoft's Youssef Mehdi, the company plans to make money on selling games for the console and the Xbox Live subscription, which he noted has grown to 48 million members now. The strategy will continue, which is that we are looking to break even or low margin at worst on Xbox One and then make money selling additional games, the Xbox Live service, and other capabilities on top. And as we can cost reduce our box, as we've done with the 360, we'll do that to continue the price reduce and get even more competitive with our offering.
Keep on going.
Well, the next thing is a Game Informer link.
Yeah, I know. It's part of the same article.
Oh, okay. According to Microsoft VP Phil Spencer, we feel great about our hardware yield. We feel great about the number of units we're going to have at launch. Our pre-orders are going really well, better than they did for the 360. According to retailers, pre-orders continue to sell out each time Microsoft releases another batch to retailers, Spencer stated. Quote, you want people to be able to walk in the store and buy one day one, so you're going to try to manage the inventory that isn't pre-sold. It's not a yield problem. It's us trying to manage the hardware side. I want parents who don't think about pre-ordering electronics to be able to walk in and have a chance to find a box. There might be a line, but I don't want it to be that if you didn't pre-order in September, you can't get one. That doesn't feel like a great consumer experience.
And this goes back to you saying that when you went to get a Wii or a 360, you just walked in and got one. Although, for the Wii, you had to take a ticket, right?
The Wii, I had to take a ticket. The 360, I waited in line. The PS3, I didn't buy at launch, so there was no problems there.
But I mean, is that one thing that Microsoft that people seem to agree on is that there's going to be a PS4 shortage, right? And I think that's why Microsoft.
I think there's I think there's going to be a shortage of both machines. I mean, that's just the nature of a new console.
Here's the thing is that I think there's going to be a PS4 shortage, but Microsoft's going to continue to manage to get consoles on the shelf, because what's going to happen? You're going to say, oh, the PS4 looks cheaper. I'd like one of those. Oh, sorry, we're sold out. Well, how about an Xbox One? Oh, we have a couple of them still on stock. You know, so basically, Microsoft is counting on the PS4 being sold out, and they also said there's going to be less PS4s produced.
Now, I don't think that's true. Sony is saying that to change expectations, but it's not going to be a matter that there are fewer PS4s out there. I mean, it's cheaper hardware to produce. It shouldn't be any kind of issue there.
No, but we've seen Sony have problems with production before.
We've seen Sony have production before when they were using custom cell chips that, had a very low yield and all kinds of problems with the cell, but that's not the case this time around.
Now, the other thing is that Microsoft also has more of a longer view Microsoft has a longer view, and all they care about right now is that there's going to be enough Xbox Ones to sell so that people can talk to their friends about Xbox Live and that experience and the games and all that, because that's what they're going with right now. They're going with exclusive games, Titanfall, and their special big name third party exclusives, Dead Rising 3. Now, although technically, Dead Rising is a Capcom game.
It's a Capcom game,
but Microsoft is co-producing it, if I remember correctly.
I think it's one of those instances where Microsoft owns part of the IP, kind of like what they did with Project Gotham and stuff like that.
And Mass Effect.
Yeah.
The first Mass Effect, I mean.
The first Mass Effect.
So, yeah, are you planning on getting both consoles at some point?
Not initially, no.
I don't mean buying them both at launch. I mean just eventually. Yeah.
I really don't think so. I mean, right now I'm still really leery of Microsoft changing their plans again halfway through the console life.
By the way, that's the reason why it's going to be a November 22nd launch, is because they had to change all the software because they were expecting to have that always online, right?
Yeah,
now
exactly.
You gotta change
and I don't trust them to keep their current strategy. They pushed too hard initially, saying that what we're doing is the right thing.
Metric, for one.
Well, that was Don Matrick, and there was other
and
people
a bunch
at
of,
Microsoft
yeah,
as well.
Well, you know what? The thing is that I doubt they would change their minds mid. I think they're going to think, for the next generation when everybody's used to it.
I think they'll wait to get the first 5 or 10 million sold, and then they'll flip that switch back on. And that's what I think they're going to do.
Well, here's a question: what if? Now, here's the problem with the PS4, that is going to be a big test, because PSN stunk. It was hard to find friends. It was hard to do chats. It was hard to do everything because Sony went with a peer-to-peer sort of thing, right?
Well, Sony went to a peer-to-peer sort of thing, and they also made it so that there was not a shared memory space for games, so that you couldn't do cross-game chat and that kind of thing. That's been corrected on the PS4.
Well, we'll see. Because if Sony screws up with PSN, or if they can't keep up with Microsoft, that's another
thing. So far, everything we're seeing is that Sony has learned a lot from the huge mistakes they made with the PS3 and the huge mistakes they made with the PS2.
Well, they can always make brand new mistakes, We're going to move on to the next item. PS4 only supports 4 controllers. This comes to us from Co-Optimus. I hear that, and I'm thinking Optimus Prime. I am.
You need the Transformer sound there.
Yeah. Shuhei Yoshida, president of Sony Worldwide Studios, confirmed on Twitter that the PlayStation 4 will support a maximum of 4 controllers, making it the next-gen console with the smallest number of supported controllers at one time. The Xbox One may host up to 8 controllers for one console, and the Wii U allows 4 Wiimotes and 1 Wii U gamepad. The PlayStation 3's Bluetooth capabilities allows for 7 controllers to sync on one system. While couch co-op has taken a backseat online gaming in this recent generation, gathering friends around a console and having a multiplayer experience in the same room is still a hallmark of electronic entertainment. Having a maximum of 4 controllers may not matter to many gamers who either play exclusively online or have 3 other friends who play online games. Fans of EA Sports games do have a right to be disappointed. Having a majority of a team in FIFA filled out by actual human beings instead of soulless robots turns a soccer match into a bonding experience. A game of Madden where you can gaze directly into the eyes of your teammates makes for a grand trust exercise. From my part, I don't really care. Cause
I don't really care either. It seems strange that this would even be a deal. I mean, it's nice that the Xbox One supports 8 controllers, but you know, the split screen games have pretty much gone away at this point.
It isn't it's split screen games. It's just that, you know, for the most part, I just have one person owners. I just need 2 controllers.
Exactly. Yeah.
The thing that I think where it might be nice is when you have those trivia games, right? And you have 8 people and you all have to slap your thing to say, no, I know the answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or Jeopardy.
Or, you know, the Guitar Hero games where you had the guitar and the drums and the, you know, all of that.
You know what? I would love to see, you know, you complain about online games, right? And Microsoft experimented with this. But I would like an online game show. But instead of making it something that people don't recognize, because it was one, it was 1 versus 100, which is sort of a game show that was on. I don't remember which channel it was on, but it's sort of obscure. Imagine if someone actually did something like Family Feud online, you know?
I would play the hell out of Family Feud
online. Or Wheel of Fortune online. Or better yet, The Price is Right online. And you'd have live price updates for everything. And the thing is, you couldn't just go stay by your computer and check the MSRP, you know, quickly, because you'd have like 5 seconds to answer, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? By the way, which was your favorite? What was your favorite game on The Price is Right? Just wondering.
Oh boy, I don't even remember all the Price is Right games.
It's funny. Everybody loved that game with the yodeling guy. You know, he'd climb up the thing and almost won that because he would just topple right off because people went too high.
Yes.
But I like the you know what? The one in which you're doing the car and you have to rearrange the numbers into the number that you think is the price of the car.
Right.
No, I liked that one.
I like spinning the wheel, and you could do that with Kinect. You could actually have a virtual Price is Right wheel spin. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? That's such a
dear Microsoft. Make this happen.
Dollar?
Huh?
I will say this. I did see one show in which someone did hit the dollar twice.
And you get like $10,000 for that or something like that.
That would be my fantasy to hit the not to get the money necessarily, but just to be able to say, yeah, I got the 100 twice.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Again, this is PS4. This is next gen related. This is a next generation show.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and it was the news when I was looking at news to pull together articles for the show. It was so much of it out there for both the Xbox One and the PS4. PS4 and Xbox One won't support external hard drives for now. This comes to us from Extreme Tech. Both the PS4 and Xbox One will ship with 500 gigabyte hard drives. The PS4's drive is user upgradable, but the Xbox One's is most certainly not.
Wait, even before so, you both move on, what they're referring to here, just because the copy doesn't make it eminently clear, they're talking about the internal hard drive. You're able to swap out the internal hard drive of the PS4.
Even so, both consoles support USB 3.0 ports, so expanding the storage should be simple, right? Sadly, that's not the case, at least at launch. Neither the PS4 nor Xbox One will have full support for external hard drives. Speaking of the recent Penny Arcade Expo PAX in Seattle, Microsoft's Larry Herb, otherwise known as Major Nelson, let it slip that the external hard drive support likely won't make it in time for the November launch. According to Herb, the team is working on other things, so this feature is clearly taking a back seat.
By the likely way, time out there. The thing that they're working on is all the software right now.
Yeah, exactly. Likely, this delay is due in part to the now infamous PR nightmare that led to Microsoft making a complete policy reversal. When you have to go back to the drawing board only a few months from the drop-dead ship date, it's no surprise that features start to slip. Meanwhile, over at Sony, the PS4 isn't in for very good news either on the same front. This weekend, a Twitter user asked Shuya Yoshida, president of Worldwide Studios at Sony Computer Entertainment, if the PS4 would allow users to store downloaded games on an external hard drive. In response, Yoshida simply replied, no. If you thought you could, I love that tweet. No. If you thought you could simply buy a cheap 2 terabyte USB 3.0 drive to upgrade your PS4, it looks like you're out of luck. At least you'll have the option of replacing the internal drive without voiding your warranty. The Wii U, on the other hand, already supports external USB hard drives. In fact, it's something of a requirement if you download more than a few games. The Wii U only ships with a maximum 32 gigs of internal flash storage.
Yeah, so the Wii U has more flexibility, but that's because they made their hard drive so weak that it was basically you had to, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if the Wii U has a hard drive. I think it's flash memory. Yeah.
No, it is flash storage. I was wondering, does the Wii U support SD cards at least?
I don't believe it does. The Wii did, but I don't believe the Wii U does.
I prefer, actually, you know, I upgraded my smartphone with a 16 gigabyte mini SD. So it's,
yeah, I put a 32 in my phone and I put a 64 in my Surface.
But I was only going to spend $20 and not $30. Yeah. I should have spent the $30. So let's ask you a question. Which is more important to you? Do you really need to store games on your external hard drive if you have a 500 gigabytes on your drive?
I don't really buy downloadable games. So no, I don't have that problem.
No, I mean full games. I mean, when you rip the game, right, like you can on the 360, you rip the game to the hard drive.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering, are you able to rip the game to your PS4 hard drive is the question.
There's not a choice to do that. I think on a game by game basis, individual games have that option, but it's not a standard feature the way it is on the 360.
No, you know, this is not so much of a pain because, for one thing, 500 gigabytes is still a lot of memory. You know, it's not
500 gigabytes is a lot of memory. And I think in both cases, what they're talking about is using external storage for games. There's nothing that says that you can't plug in an external drive for media, for video, audio, whatever you want
to
do.
I took it to mean save games, you know, and you can't save games on the external hard drive I don't think that you can use a hard drive at all right now on the.
I think both of them really want you putting your save games in the cloud. They don't want you putting them kind of storage. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's a question. I wonder I don't know if it's fast enough, because what I was going to ask is, what if you could do something like OnLive, in which you can store your. Well, that's what Microsoft wanted to do with the Always Online. You know, was be able to.
Right.
But I wonder if you can still do it. You know, and that you can use up some. Because they have so much, they have 300,000 servers. Whether you want to call them virtual or not, you know, it's still a crap ton of servers. And I'm wondering if you'll be able to do that. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item, which is going to make you want to sell your Square Enix stock. See if you can get that joke here.
Oh, is this me or
is this me? Okay. I'm just saying. I wonder if you got that joke.
Yes. I remember we talked about that ages ago. Yeah.
Sony refunds Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn PSN purchases, and this comes to us from Strategy Informer. If you've bought Square Enix's once again troubled Fantasy XIV MMO through the PlayStation Network on either August 27th or August 28th, then you'll be getting your funds back, announces Sony. PSN units will be, quote-unquote, find the funds in their wallet to be spent elsewhere. Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn has been hit with crippling server issues since due to demand, with free game time offered. Both the standard and collector's edition versions are eligible from a refund from Sony, who pulled the MMO from PlayStation Store last week over issues. Square Enix has already issued 7 additional days of free game time, as users are finding it difficult to log on to the relaunched MMO due to sheer demand on the servers. It's unclear when it'll sell again through PSN. As if this game didn't have enough troubles. Are you kidding me?
they take the time to relaunch the game, and it's a complete failure again.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'm hearing is that the game itself is a piece of crap, too. So you got it on both ends. I mean, now, saying that it's a piece of crap is highly subjective, right? And I haven't played it myself. I'm just reacting to what people have said around it. But
Final Fantasy XI wasn't particularly good either. So, yeah.
But it boggles the mind. Let's roll this back first. The first time they released Final Fantasy XIV, it's unfinished and a beta and buggy. So much so that you don't even have stores or interface windows or anything like that. So Square makes it free to play until the Japanese earthquake hits. Then they have to shut it down. Then they open it up again. And then they start charging people again. And then they say, well, you know what? This is so crappy that we're going to have to reboot the entire thing from scratch, hence calling it A Realm Reborn. So people beta test it for months. And like I said, this is user beta testing. So they relaunch. You can't get on the system to play it. Not only that, but some people say it's not very good. Why are they still trying to do this? Why?
It's like the game is cursed.
It's just badly developed.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And at this day and age, to have day one launches, which people cannot get on, that is unforgivable. Just ask Electronic Arts and SimCity.
Exactly.
Which is a worse crime, because basically SimCity should be and always should be a single player offline game. But that's besides the point. What I'm saying is that we have MMOs coming out all the time with no day one server issues.
Right.
you have to.
Maybe they need more than one server.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. I mean, people do this now. Electronic Arts is smart enough to know, you know what? We're going to have extra servers. We're going to have more servers than we need and just pair them back as we figure out how many it's really going to need. You know, that's the wise way to do it. You overcompensate and then compensate.
You want to have failover room. And if you don't have the failover room, you end up with just the fail.
Because you know what people are going to do? They're going to, after a month, they're going to say, we're not going to subscribe.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not going to pay for a game that I can't play.
Yeah.
And that's the number one way to piss off a gamer. Make them pay for a game that they cannot play.
Now, the other thing that I found interesting, and this episode is going to be really short, but I don't care.
Well, we don't have any feedback or anything. So
no, well, it isn't only that. We don't have any gaming flash, but I don't care. We can have a short episode every so once in a while. Let's call us the semi day off episode. One thing I found interesting is that WildStar and The Elder Scrolls Online are both going to be premium games. They're both going to have your typical subscription-based online service. And right. I think that's the way it's going to be with high-profile MMOs. They're going to be 2 years of subscription, and then they'll transfer to free-to-play. The only people who are going to go free-to-play from the start are people who need attention and need gamers, players to enjoy their game. In the other case, that these games have already have a fan base who are willing to pay to play, right?
Right.
Now, the question I have is, how much is it going to cost to play? I mean, how much is the box going to cost? Because I'm not sure that WildStar will deal with the pay $50 to buy the box and get a month free, or if they might go, okay, don't pay anything for the game. You just start off right off the bat with a subscription.
Kind of like a cell phone contract.
Yeah, basically. I mean, you know, I mean, that's where all the money comes from, really.
Right.
You get sort of $40, you know, you get the people buying for that one-time thing. But still, it would be interesting to see that happen.
But I don't know. There's room for changing up the model. You know, like we in the Forbes article we just talked about, Microsoft selling the console at launch at a profit or a break even, which is almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Nintendo does it occasionally, but you
Nintendo
know, for the last 30 years, the whole premise of selling consoles was the razor and razor blade theory, that you sell the console at a loss, that's okay, you're going to make the money back on your software. I think it's good news for Microsoft that they can get the hardware at a point where they can still sell it at a reasonable price and not go in the hole.
Here's the thing, which makes me wonder, okay, now hear me out on this one. If they're making a profit on these, right, I wonder if GameStop is not having that nil margin. You know what I mean?
That's not unusual for retail.
No, I'm
at
just
all,
saying,
but,
what if Microsoft tells them, you know what, you can sell these at 500, but we're going to sell them to you at, say, 450, right? Which would give GameStop and other retailers a chance to have their Black Friday sales.
That's true. I mean, but the other part of it is that hardware at retail is notoriously low margin. Even computer hardware is like 10-11%. So,
I'll give you a little hint. Derek Schammer, the founder of this podcast, had his own little software, his own hardware cell, right? And basically, when someone ordered a Wii from him, he would order the Wii from someone else. You know, basically, that's it. You're ordering from me, but I'm ordering from someone else.
Yeah, a distribution point, right?
Yeah. So the thing is that, you know, you don't have any profit margin. I'm wondering if Microsoft might relax that for the Xbox One so that if GameStop wanted to have to slash prices on the Xbox One, even just $50 on Black Friday, they might do that.
That's true.
You know, it depends on that. Now, Nintendo, they use cheap materials, so they always make a profit on their stuff. I mean, the Wii U, when it was released, I believe they were selling it for what, $350? Or what was it for the most expensive version?
$350, I believe, is correct. And they've reduced that now to $299.
From what I understand, the production cost is something like $70.
Well, that doesn't surprise me either, because not only does Nintendo use cheap products, they also use products that are from a generation behind. So, yeah. You know, waiting to do HDMI for an entire generation makes that a cheaper thing to add when you're ready to add it.
So the thing is, one of the news items we did not mention, I believe Nintendo announced a price cut on the 3DS. I don't know if we discussed this last week.
They announced the 2DS, which is coming out.
But they did. Oh, that's right. They did announce a price cut. Now I remember from last week.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. The Vita is still what? $200?
$200. $199.
So do you think that? I wonder how much it's going to be at Black Friday. Some speculation here.
That's a good question. You know, I think we're lucky that we got it down to 200. You know, the best option for the Vita right now is $200 plus the Walking Dead season one.
That's the problem right there. And I know you mentioned it already. Who gives a shit if they include The Walking Dead? I mean, it's already been on PC, every console imaginable. It's been on the friggin' Wii. You know, it's been on iOS and Android. And it's going to be on Ouya.
It's a value add, you know, to have a game in the box.
My value add would be to have the Vita be $130. That's my value add.
See, I would love to see it hit $130, but they're still trying to sell the PSP for $130. Yeah, so I don't see them dropping the Vita to that level.
Well, who cares about what Sony does? I'm thinking about what the retailers do. I wonder how many of them have stacks and stacks of unsold Vitas they need to get rid of.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why Rock Band, why they stopped selling instruments with Rock Band, because retailers are complaining they had these huge boxes
that they couldn't do anything with.
Yeah,
right?
It was taking up aisle space. You know?
Yeah.
I will say this. You know what? I'm pre-ordering my console from Amazon. I mean, GameStop. But I'm wondering if I should have done it from Toys R Us, because Toys R Us is notorious for just saying, we don't care what other people are doing. We're going to slash the prices and take a hit and know that you're going to come back to us at another time, because we're such great price slashers.
I will say this. The sale to look for at Toys R Us is on Black Friday. And yes, you're going to have to line up for it. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it. But
thing about Toys R Us is they always overstock, too, which is great.
They always overstock, but they will do a sale on console games where you buy one, or it'll either be buy one, get one, or buy two, get one, and the one you're getting is $5.
Yeah, I was about to say, the one you did was get two and buy one for $5.
Yeah, I got Fable 3 for $5. I still felt ripped off, but yeah.
You know what? I still want to get Fable 3 on my PC. Oh, there's major news that we really did not discuss the past week, and that is Microsoft is shutting down PC Live for Windows for good in 2015. That's it.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Huh. So your save games on Windows for Live are going to be useless. The thing that bothers me is that I want to make my achievements, and it reminds me, I better get these games for Windows games and get the achievements quickly, you know?
I think they might be moving to the Windows 8.
That's
interface.
What makes me think, is that they're not really shutting down when they're just going to branch it in a new name. You know what?
The games for Windows 8 do tie into my Xbox account, and you know, I've been racking up achievements and stuff playing solitaire, believe it or not.
You know,
so
what really annoys me though is that all of this could have been avoided had Microsoft not been in love with Microsoft Messenger.
Yeah.
Because what they should have done and what everybody wanted them to do, but they did not do, and I think this is where the higher-ups, you know, the guys on the PC side or the executives up there are so in love with this thing that they bought that they screwed it up completely. What they should have done and what people were asking for was an Xbox Live tray on their PC, which would be on, which would act, you know, when your friends logged on to Xbox Live, it would do the same pop-up, a little bit more discreet because it's a PC here. But, you know, right. Say, your friend is on, you could chat with them. That's what people wanted.
Yeah.
Instead, what they did was they put Microsoft Messenger on the Xbox 360, which was the most annoying thing in the universe because it was an unnecessary chat window for a system that already had a chat, you know.
Exactly. And you know, you could do PC to Xbox chatting, but you had to log into the Xbox website in order to do it. There wasn't an app running on your desktop that would do it.
And the second mistake was that they thought that PC gamers would honestly play for Xbox Live Gold, which is hilarious. No, they're not. And that's why Games for Windows Live failed, and that's why they let Steam get all the attention.
Well, and look at what you get for Live, right? If you pony up for the gold, ooh, you can play online games for free. PC users can do that anyway.
No, here's the
thing. Oh, you can have Facebook for free. Yeah, I can do that on my PC anyway. Netflix for free. Oh, yeah, I can do that too.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, it's not good for PC, but it is good for console, because basically what you're doing on the Xbox 360 is you're paying for servers. You know, you're paying for private servers. It's not exactly what's going on, but that's what's going on. So that the only games that get – they forced MSN Messenger – on the Xbox, and now you're forcing Xbox 360 users to have a second chat they don't need.
Right, because the chat is already built into the Xbox Live interface, and the cross PC to Xbox chat was through the Xbox Live website. You could log onto the website on a PC, see who all your friends were that were online, and you could send them chat requests and so on and so forth.
They didn't give them what people really, really wanted, and that was this. Put the Xbox Live on a tray on your PC so that it was a virtual Xbox, when your friend popped up on Xbox Live, it would be right there. You know, that sort of
thing. Right.
You know, that's what people wanted.
A pounce, the way you can do in most chat applications.
But the thing is that Microsoft, the upper echelon, who had nothing to do with Xbox and, wanted to have forced MSN in there, right? Onto Xbox. They were so in love with MSN. I don't know why, because MSN Messenger was a crappy chat for the one that I used when MSN was around at its height was Yahoo Messenger. You know,
one thing that kind of ties into the whole Messenger and other things that we didn't talk about on the show, Microsoft just bought the phone division of Nokia.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to impact chat and all of that other development.
Well, now Microsoft's doing it right with Skype and the Xbox One. You know, that makes sense. What they're doing with Skype, and of course they bought Skype, so they're going to use it,
Right.
From what I understand, they actually bought the hardware from Nokia as well, which is weird.
And they're licensing all the patents.
So it makes me wonder, could you use your Xbox One as a cell phone now? That would actually work, actually. Now that I think about it, it would make Skype a little bit superfluous, but Skype does its other stuff. I don't think, you do. But I'm wondering, maybe it's going to work in concert with Skype, in which now you can actually do cell phone calls with your Skype through Nokia's hardware, and included in the – that would be weird. That
would be very weird.
But it would work, but it would be weird, So Microsoft is experimenting, which is good. I mean, I don't mind if a company experiments with hardware,
I mean, the whole Kinect thing was an experiment.
Yeah. And the thing is that my experience with Kinect at E3 was very positive, A lot of things that people had complaints about I think are free, although – you still have to see what it does in the wild, basically.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't a super controlled situation, right? But it was controlled enough that you weren't playing an actual game with it, right? So that's the thing that I would wonder about. I mean, they're doing it's very interesting to see what they're doing. Last week's question of the week was, how many times have you purchased a new form factor of a console you already owned? Jordan actually has an amendment to what he said.
Yes, I originally said last week that I did not do that, and I actually have one correction to make. I did buy a PSP 2000 after buying the 1000 because the 2000 had video out.
But the thing is, you talked about this a lot on the old podcast, on Video Game Roundtable. I mean, it should have popped your mind.
And it should have,
But the thing is, now, did you actually buy the PSP 3000 or did you just check it out and reject it?
I bought a 2000.
Okay, no, I'm wondering, because you did not buy the 3000.
Did not buy the 3000.
Right, okay, because the 3000 had problems.
Yeah, they changed the alignment on the pixels, so instead of a horizontal alignment they went with a vertical alignment, and that caused interlaced flicker on an LCD screen, which is not technically supposed to be possible.
Hey,
but they somehow managed it on the Vita on the PSP 3000.
Who says that Sony isn't innovative?
And then they said, we ain't fixing it, we meant to do that.
So that was the question of the week. We're not gonna have a question of the week, but we are going to question our week ourselves. And we're going to have our own guesses about what Sony's big announcement is going to be tomorrow. Now, obviously, this podcast will be published after it'll be published on Tuesday or Wednesday. So by the time this podcast comes out, we'll have the answer. But we're going to have our own other than the obvious, they're going to announce the PlayStation 4's Japanese release date. They might announce. And my guess is they're going to announce a new form factor of the Vita. See how it relates to last week's question of the week? And a price cut on the current Vita. That's my guess.
So, the Sony has made a big press release about how the first day of Tokyo Game Show is going to feature the announcement you've been waiting for. And so there's a lot of rumor and speculation about that. I think Jonah's on point when he says it's going to be the PlayStation 4 launch date since we don't have that yet.
Come on.
That's the easy answer. So what I would like to see them announce would be the new game from Team Ico actually coming out and possibly being ported to the PlayStation 4 and not be a PS3 title.
Well, The Last Guardian, and my suggestion was is that maybe instead of porting it to the PS4, they make it a Vita exclusive because they're using last gen tech anyway. So
I would say it would be neat to see a Vita exclusive, but you know the problem is that even Sony internal development studios are not developing Vita titles. We saw that with the PlayStation All-Stars game that came out for iOS and Android of all things, and then they completely ignored the Vita and the PlayStation mobile space.
Have you noticed that Sony and Nintendo have all of a sudden gotten really obsessed with tablet and iOS and Android?
I have noticed that a little bit. As a matter of fact,
a couple of months ago, remember, Nintendo said that iOS was their chief competitor.
Yeah, and PlayStation Mobile was supposed to be a big thing, and it really never went anywhere.
So, I still think, if you're going to produce a handheld console, why not actually give people a reason to buy it,
you need content.
I mean, and you need exclusive content. And by exclusive, I mean stuff that's not on your other stuff. It sort of reminds me of the mistake they were doing with the PS2 and the PS3, in which they didn't retire the PS2 hard enough so that people were still buying the PS2 instead of the PS3 because the PS2 still had some great stuff that was exclusive to the PS2.
Well, yeah, the God of War 2, I think it was, came out about the same time as the PS3 did. And everybody was like, well, we're just going to buy God of War 2.
Yeah, I mean, give your people a reason. Now, Microsoft was forced into it because they lost they legally couldn't use the process that they were using for the Xbox. So they actually had to cut it off, but that was
pretty
actually
severely. Yeah.
But that was good for them in hindsight. And also, Nintendo did the same with the GameCube. Albeit for different reasons. But when they cut off support for their last gen stuff, it made people say, well, listen, okay, you're going to have to move on to this next gen because we're not going to be supporting this thing anymore.
Right.
And it was sort of like an impetus to move on to the next one, and it wasn't.
Well, and Nintendo did the same thing with the 3DS by axing out Game Boy Advance games.
Well, the thing is with the DS, the DS axed out original Game Boy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I regret trading in my GBA for a DS. I should have just bought a DS and kept my GBA because there were some games on the original Game Boy that I was still playing, So,
Tetris.
What? No, actually not Tetris. there was a game called Conundrum.
Oh, okay.
And, some other stuff. So
I had Tetris, Elevator Action, and Ren and Stimpy.
They're coming out with a new next-gen version of Elevator Action.
I've heard something about that, yeah.
Anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net along with industry news. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us some comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, visit up to Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum. Oh, fuck that. I did it all wrong. Okay. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net along with Okay, so look for our show notes at Gaming Podcast. I know why this cut out before, because I was doing this and Callgraph said, fuck you, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Gotcha.
Okay, so look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us some comments at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or our forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum. Or send us your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at GameStudios.com. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments.
Yay, iTunes comments!
Like iTunes comments, but you're not giving us any iTunes comments. Because you secretly have this love-hate relationship with us.
I don't even know how to leave an iTunes comment. I don't even have iTunes on my current machine.
You sound like a dirty old man. What is this thing they call a PC? I used to do...
iTunes. And I went down to the store with an onion tied to my belt, such as it was style at the time.
Do you ever see anybody buying one of those iTunes cards?
My wife buys them all the time. Oh. She buys them for gifts, Christmas stocking stuffer type things.
One little note is that Time Warner Cable had a feud with CBS, and we didn't have CBS for like a week.
I heard that. I guess that's been resolved now.
Yes,
hasn't
it's been
it?
Resolved, and Time Warner has given us a free pay-per-view movie. Or I'm sorry, not pay-per-view. It's the other thing around. Video. Yeah, so Time Warner gave us a free video on demand, and I have $5 off any Amazon purchase here as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it doesn't expire until Halloween. So I don't know about the video on demand, but I do like having Amazon gifts.
Holy crap. We're a little late for the podcast, but I just had an interesting piece of news hit my screen.
Go ahead.
Grand Theft Auto 5 has cost $265 million. More to make than any other Hollywood blockbuster ever made, except one, Pirates of the Caribbean 3, which holds the top record at $300 million.
Well, you know what? It's going to make its money back in the first day, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that the other follow-up to this is that Rockstar has already made their money back on pre-orders alone.
I wonder how many of them are in the limited edition. I saw the limited edition for Grand Theft Auto 5. It really didn't say anything to me, so I'm just going to get a radio copy. And the thing, by the way, the rumor there is that Rockstar at some point is going to have to make the announcement of the next gen version of it. There's no way it's going to just be a current gen version.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
Nvidia already leaked the PC version. They already said that they found a leak in which they're going to be giving away Grand Theft Auto 5 with one of their new cards. So the PC version is there. And by the way, have you seen all the amazing stuff, the mods that have been done for Grand Theft Auto 4?
No, huh?
One of them has the player playing as Batman with a machine gun.
I saw one that was like Pokemon.
Well, he's followed around by like 50 Supermen.
Huh.
And once he accidentally fired into them, and all of a sudden the Supermen just started firing machine guns at each other. They didn't have invulnerability, so he had all these dead Supermen at his feet. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of amazing stuff that can be done. Anyways, we'll see you next week. This is a short episode, but we don't care.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll have more reader feedback next time.
Hopefully.
Yep.
I'd hate to think that. Well, we do get downloads. At least I know there's that.
Could be people, you know, out on the Labor Day vacation, et cetera, et cetera.
In Europe? Really?
Well, could be. We don't know.
By the way,
I hear they have vacation time in Europe.
Ooh. You know,
that's why, crazy.
That's why Sony can release on the 29th of November in Europe, because they don't have Black Friday.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you know what? My favorite day is December 26th.
Boxing Day? You really like Boxing Day? Okay.
It's also known as a day when all the stores were remaindering all the stuff they didn't sell on.
Right.
You know. Anyways, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.